Coming up, we'll be the Space Show.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
And now we'll have our usual theme music by Vangelis. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie, and on the panel is Mission, way back in Mission Control on Earth, we have Richard. On this week's program, Peter Nikoloff from the Andy Thomas Space Foundation will tell us all about it.
I'm Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the moon. And you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. This is the Space Show, Australia, on 88.3 Southern FM.
And we are about to turn blue because we've got Peter Nikoloff on the telephone line. Welcome to the Space Show, Peter.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be here.
Good. You're the chair, I understand, of the foundation. What is the Andy Thomas Space Foundation?
We're a not-for-profit organisation. We established about 4 years ago. And the aim is really to encourage kids into science, STEM subjects, science, engineering, mathematics subjects. And part of that initiative was strongly supported by Andy Thomas himself. So if a lot of your younger listeners are not aware, Andy Thomas was an Australian, went through an engineering degree at Adelaide University and was so enthusiastic about becoming an astronaut, he actually got up, moved to the US, became a US citizen, and ultimately joined NASA, the astronaut corps there, and did actually four flights during his career. And one of them was to the Russian space station, Mir, which was quite unique for 130 days there. So, no, he has an amazing, amazing background, but he's so supportive of us, our organisation, what we do, and encouraging kids to get into STEM using space as the theme.
And Andy still lives in the United States, I believe.
Yeah, he's still in Houston with his wife, because his wife was also, he married an astronaut wife. And she's only recently retired herself, so they'll be able to come to Australia more often now.
Now, what are your aims at the Andy Thomas Space Foundation?
We've got a few aims. An important one, which I mentioned earlier, is to advance space education, so making STEM literacy for all our students a priority. Raising awareness for space for the, outreach to the general public so people understand the importance of space science technologies to our everyday lives and contributing to the national space community through events and other outreach activities. On that last item, we actually, every year, we run the Australian Space Forum in Adelaide, which attracts 600-plus attendees. With a very diverse program, typically covering Earth observation, advanced technologies, defence and security. So it is quite broad. And we also highlight some of the amazing achievements that our Australian space industry has made over the past year.
And how are these activities organised?
Well, this is basically the foundation runs these organisations. So we've got a very small team, it's like three of us. And with bigger events like that, we do hire a professional conference organiser. We've been doing this now, we're up to our 19th space forum. So we've got a hat. We have a very large exhibit hall, which is fantastic for industry and universities to actually network and interact with everyone, and the university students and industry can actually take advantage of that working environment. We have 50 plus exhibitors typically, and a number of international ones. This year's theme actually is Global Challenges, Regional Solutions, Space Partnerships in the Indo-Pacific. So we're actually locking in people from the Asia-Pacific region, Indo-Pac islands, probably get Singapore there, but we can't really enact all of them formally yet until they give us the go-ahead. But, yeah, no, we've got a great cross-section of people attending. And from Australia, we have very strong support from our Space Command participants as well, which is exciting.
Now, this doesn't sound cheap. How do you fund it?
Well, it covers its costs. At the end of the day, we've got to break even or make a little bit of money. So it's not a loss-making activity. And the important thing is, with the funds that we do make out of an event like this, they go straight back into our education programs.
Now, who can participate? So for example, what age group are you aiming at?
Well, anyone can participate, but typically it's adult age groups that attend. So we have people from, we have a lot of university students or people that are passionate about space that turn up. We get the researchers from universities and also from defence turn up. Huge industry component as well. So, yeah, it's the full ecosystem which we basically support at the Space Forum.
And you're based in Adelaide. Any particular building there?
We're in... A lot of people that are not from Adelaide. The old Royal Adelaide Hospital was retired and they built a new hospital, and that's now being developed as a high-tech precinct. So it's just right in the middle of the city. They call it Lot 14. And we're in the same building, same level as the Australian Space Agency, which is really cool. So it's not uncommon we have a chat with Enrico, the head of the Space Agency, or Catherine Bennell Pegg, our Australian astronaut, and they both support our Space Forum and provide presentations to the community.
Okay, and what events do you have coming up?
Well, the forum is a big one, so that's we're flat out working on that at the moment. So that's planned for 21-22 July at the Adelaide Convention Centre. Like I said, if anyone's in Adelaide, you're welcome to apply and join the forum. So that's our main event, but we've literally 2 days ago we just finished one of our education events. So our Kids in Space program, which is targeted at primary school kids, is our major space education event, and we had the South Australian Showcase. So all the schools that joined that or applied and got into it, they all came to this event, and all the kids present all their designs. Basically, we run through a program where we the kids or the schools that get into the program, they get provided a 3D printer, and we provide professional development to the teachers. So we teach them how to teach the design thinking process, and the software tools for the printer run along those lines. And then the kids have got to solve a problem on Earth or in space using space technologies, and they come and present all their projects, and they get judged, and the winner gets nominated to go to the final in Adelaide. And we do that in the other states and territories as well, and we have our big grand final in Adelaide in November, where we get the winning school and the recognition and get to talk to Enrico and a lot of the other space industry participants that we invite.
Now, each state here in Australia has their school holidays and different dates. Is that a problem for you?
It can be. It does. It's a little bit hard for some of the schools, but we try and coordinate the state programs around the school holidays, the state and territory programs.
Mm-hmm. And teacher involvement. I've seen a number of these programs over the years, and they often fail or fall down in that the teachers don't get involved. There's no opportunity for them, or they're not invited or whatever. How do you cope with that?
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier, our focus is on the teachers as well. So the schools get the 3D printers and the design tools, but we provide the teachers with professional development. Every program they go through that, our professional development training. We also get confirmation from the principals that the teachers will have the time and effort to actually support the program. Then the program's run over a term. So it's quite focused. And then with the teachers being trained, and a lot of them come out super enthusiastic, our feedback, they can carry on the program in their school without our support. They've basically got all the tools and supplies. So that's the focus, to try and keep the programs going, is the teachers.
Yes, because one of the problems that I experienced in my career was that you get one or two teachers enthused, but you've got a staff of a dozen science teachers, and it's only the one or two that are interested, and the rest couldn't care.
Yeah, you get that everywhere. It's not necessarily they don't care, but often it's the workload and the other priorities they have.
And they don't have the knowledge.
And so when we run our programs, they get to understand how important space is and how it can be applied. Mm. So we've put over 30,000 kids through the program, and the feedback from the teachers is amazing. So you only need one or two teachers in each school just to keep a program going in a school without our additional ongoing support.
Yes. And are these high school students or are they primary?
Oh, no, this is primary school.
Okay.
So it's sowing that seed. Yeah, I was a very young person when I sort of picked up on space and the Apollo program, and ever since then, that was my whole passion in life. So we want to sow the seed at that early stage. We are looking at expanding our program to secondary school, because that's the time when people start making decisions on getting into STEM or what courses they'll do at university or TAFE. So, but being a small organisation, and as you know, for not-for-profit, this funding is really tough to win. But that's where our future vision is, to work on secondary school programs. We also run a number of other programs with the foundation. So we do have scholarships for PhD and people coming from the country that go to university, things like that. So they're very targeted. They have to do a pretty serious application, and we review and target those ones which we see are very passionate. So that's a much smaller program, but we're really on it, encourage our next generation of space leaders, give them the opportunity, particularly people from remote areas that can't necessarily get the city without a little bit of support.
Mm. I remember decades ago now, I had to decide on who went to similar activities, and the applications that reached my heart best were the ones from the country areas. They had nothing, no activities there that they could do, whereas the city people had heaps of things they could do, and by and large they didn't care about them. But the country kids, they really, really wanted something. So I'm pleased to hear that you're looking at the country people as well.
Yeah, we definitely do that. We partner with the Playford Trust in South Australia, so with our combined funds, and that's targeted typically is a lot of those sort of rural, remote sort of areas. And the same with our Kids in Space program. We really try and target, when we select the winning schools to join the program, we certainly target those sort of more regional areas, which they don't have access to the big STEM schools and things like that. So we had a great little project from a little community in Northern Territory. These young kids, Aboriginal kids, had issues where every time they get floods and issues like that. There's more crocodile issues in the region. So these little kids are going, well, what if we monitor the river levels and other particular issues that sort of may increase the crocodile problems, and then we'll use space to transmit that to the whole community and give them warnings. So these are young primary school kids, like 6, 7 years old, coming up with these ideas, and they get to print stuff. So obviously at that age, they're printing up their ideas, like they might be the level sensors and the communications, space-based communications and things like that. So it's and these kids, they won and came to Adelaide. Half of them have never been to the city. And so they had this great opportunity, and now they're role models in their community to say, look, space helps us on Earth. And by the way, there's no reason why any of us can't get involved in the space sector.
Well, thank you, Peter, for telling us about the Andy Thomas Space Foundation. Anything you want to add about it?
No, it's just we certainly welcome people to attend the Space Forum. That's a good opportunity if you want to really have access and visibility of what's happening in the Australian space ecosystem. We're the primary major event in Australia of year, and it's supported by the Space Agency and the South Australian Government. So it's a fantastic event, and we, like I said, we get high power delegates from around the world that attend and present at our conference.
Well, being chair of the Andy Thomas Foundation is obviously not your day job. What is your day job, Peter?
My day job. Well, I've got a couple of day jobs. I start off my career in defence science research and then transferred to Air Force. So I've had a long career in defence aerospace, working with fighter jets and introducing new upgrades and weapons to those systems. And part of that, Air Force, we basically own the Woomera Rocket Range. So I spent a lot of quality time out of the rocket range. And so in 2000, my partner at Nova, the other co-founder, we left the Air Force environment and established a company called Nova Systems. And so that's been going for 26 years, and it's now Australia's largest 100% sovereign-owned defence and space company. So we're very proud of that. And that company, because that company's so well, it allows me to have the time to give back to things like the Andy Thomas Space Foundation. Mm. But I was also in... Oh, go on.
I'll just say, what does Nova actually do?
So we basically help defence buy and test and introduce into service their advanced weapon systems. So it started off in aerospace. That's where Jim and I started the business. And that's transitioned to Navy, Army, and space SATCOM systems as well. So just about every major project, we've probably got people on. We're with our subcontractors, we're well over 1,000 people now. We're doing this work across Australia with a similar sort of smaller group in the UK doing the same thing.
Hmm. Oh, Peter, thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
Not a problem. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed letting the community know about Australian space.
Well, that's why the Space Show exists. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
See ya.